evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and I'm so delighted to speak with you again and speak with a wonderful paradigm shifter. Actually, there are two of them here. One, which is a great consortium of consciousnesses, a coalescence of consciousnesses, channeled through Ginger Matro, is Galexis. So first, we'll welcome Ginger.
Hi.
And we've got a lot to talk about tonight, Ginger. We want to talk about what is this whole process of evolution on a cellular level as well as a human level.
All right. Well, I think I'd really just prefer Galexis to take care of that.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
And so with all the information you're bringing through and teaching us, are you personally going through a lot of changes? I mean, outside of Galexis,
I have quite significant, broad, phenomenal changes. But I want to maybe share with your audience that the discovery that I've made this year, that the changes are not necessarily difficult anymore.
Oh, goody.
It's like I went through years and years of cleaning out toxic emotional debris and going through my past and cleaning it out and clearing out my history and all my storyline and all that kind of thing and getting rid of the slave driver, that part of me that just drove me nuts all the time, pushing me and driving me to achieve more and more and more, and I never got a rest. So all of that.
I have some of that myself.
Oh, my. Well, everybody actually does that. What I discovered is that by letting go of that slave driver and coming to a place where I didn't really have to focus on my past anymore and cleaning and clearing my past anymore, that the changes that are coming just ramp me up into new vibrational levels. And it's very high. It's very exciting. And, yeah, things still happen. There's still challenges that come to me from the external environment, but it's just a whole different way of being.
So you don't feel kind of driven by your subconscious or repeatable
program?
No,
there's nothing pushing and driving me anymore. There's nothing telling me that what I have to do or critiquing anything that I'm any performance that I make or anything. It's like I'm really free and I'm floating and I'm totally comfortable wherever I am with whoever I am doing whatever I'm doing.
Is it a wonderful experience to be hosting Galexis?
Well, yes, it is. And, of course, I have to, you know, attribute a lot of this phenomenal freedom and enjoyment of the change process to Galexis because I did not find it much fun years ago. And I didn't find it much fun up until probably about a year ago. But there's just been a huge transformational shift for me.
Ah, this is very, very good news for all of us, isn't it?
Well, I think everybody's going through this, or will go through this. And I've met people who've already gone through this.
Me too.
And it just puts you in a different place. And I never expected that it would be this good. I never had a clue that life could feel like this, that I could be this free and this comfortable in my own skin. I mean, I always was so insecure and always sensitive about my image and how I came across, and I took things personally and all that. And it took years to dismantle that. But coming to this place, it's like, wow, this is the way everybody should be able to feel. It's so much fun.
But that is the goal, isn't it?
Well, I think that is a kind of a goal, but I think it's just part of us growing to that point. But we have to know, in a sense, where we're going. And that's
why we have to want to go there. Don't we have to choose that?
Yeah, but people are choosing various paths to get there. That seems to me to be what you might say, like a side path, or they go off on tangents, but they think they're going to get there by pushing harder or meditating harder or, you know, working more or being more diligent or more disciplined or whatever. And I've never had much discipline. So it's wonderful to get here without having had to do all the horrendous amount of, like, self-control all day long, you know. But the self-control comes really easy once you have the right orientation. And that's kind of what Galexis is here to do. They were called to help me heal from my chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. And I was in so much pain and I was so tired, I really didn't want to live. And so they kind of rejuvenated me every time I went into trance and moved me forward just increment by increment. And then they would, every message that they said, they would kind of, it was as if they were looking at me with a wink and say, are you listening? You mm-hmm. know, because they wanted me to get it.
As well as all the people.
Yeah, and I called. I kind of asked for it, you know. And I'm just so grateful because of this gift that Galexis has brought to me. And they have made the pathway to this freedom and this joy more elegant, more easy for many, many people. Mm-hmm. And I'm really in gratitude about that, too, mm-hmm. because I don't like seeing other people suffer either.
Well, it seems like it's breaking free from old patterns, which is probably what we want to talk to Galexis about, whether our cellular patterns of life after life and going through all these traumas and slowly but surely maybe emerging to enlightenment or whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to them, see if they can tell us what's going on with that.
All right. Then why don't I just head on out and
And thanks and for Galexis. Sharing with us, Ginger.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you. All right, we are here.
Oh, it's wonderful to see you again.
Well, hello, dear one. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you again as well.
We have lots to ask you tonight, just simple things like, is it possible for us to get off the wheel of life and death? Is that a simple question?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The thing is that there is a level of consciousness that is immortality. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are thinking that that means that the body remains, but it doesn't. It means that you're able to master the physical plane so that you don't have to leave when you are enlightened and fully realized as to your divine beingness. You can actually stay and play, and you can choose what body you want and mm-hmm. what age you want. Mm-hmm. But you see, So much has been made of this whole system of reincarnation as it has kind of been adapted by the West, of the whole system coming from Eastern or Asian Hindu type mythologies of cycling through over and over and over again, with the orientation that you learn lessons and then you build, your soul's prowess in dealing with life and love and so on, and that you eventually come to an enlightened place and that you no longer then need to incarnate. And it is seen as a great blessing because incarnation in this particular system is often seen as quite a bear. It's like life is suffering, and that's what the Buddhists say, that's what the Hindus say, that's what, you know.
Well, all the instructions about karma have to do
everything
with
about karma is that,
yourself,
oh my gosh, you have to go through all this karma, and you have to clean out the karma, and you have to find a master who will help you clean out the karma, and you have to do good deeds to counteract the karma, and you have to pay the price of all the nasty things you've done in the past or in your karma, as if there's no redemption, as if there's no forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You know, there is forgiveness. There is an end to the suffering, and it can be done while a person is in the physical form.
And can it be done by a person who hasn't achieved, like, step by step through all of the lifetime?
Right. The ancient yogis would spend lifetimes mastering one chakra, mm-hmm. and then they would reincarnate and go back to the same particular orientation or path, and they would work on the next chakra. And then they would work all the way up to the top, to the seven chakras. Mm-hmm. And by the time you get through with the six and you come into the lifetime to work with the seventh, that's your last lifetime.
So it's very sequential. When you're in that mode of thinking, it's very sequential.
Yes, it's about, you know, raising your vibration to each stage and making it through each plane and through it and so on. Now, we don't say that there's anything wrong with that. It's just that it's very, very long and drawn out, and it takes a tremendous amount of focus over many lifetimes. And most people don't have that in a period of history in which time has compressed and sped up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your illusion of time as being much faster, and this came about starting with the Industrial Revolution and the concept of linearity.
Mm-hmm.
That put time into a linear, fixed kind of construct.
Well, the Industrial Revolution brought faster production, too, didn't
Everything
it?
Sped up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Then
and slowly, slowly integrated into people, and now with technology, if you can see how fast the information is expanding and doubling and tripling and so on, it's like, what did they say, that the information doubles every 2 years now
mm-hmm.
on the planet. So there's no one who can stay on top of that.
And we can tap into the lives of people anywhere in the world, can't we?
Right, but with that comes a great spiritual dispensation, and that is that with that speed up of time, there's also a tremendous speed up of personal evolution,
mm-hmm.
a capacity on an individual's ability, that they're a support for an individual to be able to make a great leap through many chakras in one lifetime, to maybe do the whole trip in one lifetime.
Even if you're not an enlightened master, even
if you're
not a yogi.
Even if you don't come in an enlightened family and all prepared and ready to step right into your path and continue. There's awakenings that are happening on the planet in full force now, really fast awakenings. Now, admittedly,
the
there's
work. And
kids are
coming in like that, aren't they?
Some children are coming in, yes. Yeah. There's a lot of young people coming in with this that are already kind of ready to go because the ground has been cleared, the path has been opened for them, and so they're ready to go. And if you notice also the incredible number of people that are incarnate on this planet at this time, too. There is a tremendous population explosion.
Yes, indeed.
Now, the population explosion is peaking, you know, but in the 1990s and the 2000s and into the middle of the 2000 teens, you know, that there's a that's going to be the peak of the population. There's actually going to be a decrease in population, and people are leaving because they got it. They got the hit. They were here to watch this change.
Hmm. So people are leaving. Let's talk about that for a bit, because it does seem like many people in this time of really rapid change and the shift and all those systems falling apart, which we've discussed before, there are people who are thriving on the just the knowing that things are going to change on the planet, and there's people who say, thank you very much, I'm leaving, and they suddenly die, and they're not necessarily older or sick.
Well, yes, people come and get what they came for, what they need, what they desired. And so don't think of it as people leaving early. Hmm. They came because they wanted a certain experience. They got that experience, and then they were given the option, do you want to live longer now that you've gotten that experience? And most people still holding that attitude that life is suffering,
mm-hmm.
and it's too hard, and it's, what a bear, and, this physical plane is such a bear, and so limiting, and so on. They will generally choose to go,
mm-hmm.
but some actually choose to stay, and they have a whole rejuvenation period where they live another additional kind of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people who are willing to live this new life. Now, we're not saying a lot in terms of a real high proportion yet on this planet, but we would say that, maybe at some point it could even be about 1% of people who are willing to actually have this second life, so to speak.
A heaven on earth kind of life?
Right, in which they let go of the identity of the person that they were and all these stuff and all the issues and just step into the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And as they step into the freedom, into the love, into the joy, and into a life that is not about suffering. Now, suffering, we want to just make an aside here. Suffering as it is described by the Buddhists and by many philosophies, is related directly to the sense of disconnection from the divine. Mm-hmm. But you see, when a person comes into a connection to who they are, knowing who they are, a connection into the divine within them, they no longer have to feel that type of separation suffering. And so the new life, therefore, as is an option for them to just celebrate being in the physical body. It's quite an interesting experience to be physical. It is intriguing. It is challenging. And also, because everything is so concentrated in the physical plane, and because there's time here and time has sped up, this is a place of the greatest spiritual growth for people. Because, you know, you can go and just waste your life away, and you get on the other side, and you can meditate and meditate, and you can meditate what would be in earth years, maybe, you know, tens of thousands of years. And you could just kind of blissfully, you know, drift back upwards into the higher planes and into greater self-realization and back into the divine connection. However, if you decide to go the physical path, and we would say the minority of souls chose to go physical, most souls never, ever entered the physical illusion realm and are beyond the fifth plane.
But and that's those, a choice they make.
Yeah, that's a choice you can make. You can choose to be physical. You can see it as a great adventure. And by utilizing time to experience extremely fast growth. And it's very exciting because it's very exciting, especially for people who are wanting to do creation work, who want to create. Creation is one of the aspects of the divine that is natural within all human beings. And the creative people who come to Earth, extremely creative. Earth is one of the hot spots of creativity, you might say, in the universe. And they come to Earth to learn how to create. But they have to also, in the process, remember who they are. And if they get to that point where they can launch, they can choose to stay, even though that they have fulfilled what they came to Earth for, is to observe the change, discover who they are, create something, enjoy themselves, love some people, and so forth. So, you know, the agenda can come to a close, and then they have the option. And a lot of people at that point, okay, I've written my book, I've done my thing, I've raised my family, it's over. Mm-hmm. And so they'll die. You see. But then there are other people who say, well, you know, I've done that, but isn't there more? Mm-hmm. And there always is. And so they seek a spiritual life. And
I have another question, is why people like, for example, Ginger, who's your channel, and many, many other wonderful spiritual beings that I know, first wavers and so on, have incredible health challenges or incredible challenges in order to, what, evoke their direction? Could you explain something about that before they become free?
Well, yes. That is really forcing a person, when they have a health challenge, a physical body challenge, to stay focused in the physical plane and to learn how to recreate in the physical. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge for physical mastery, which is what everybody pretty much wants. Mm-hmm. It's really fun to have physical plane mastery. We even did a weekend workshop on that we have available for people learning how to really orient and work with physical plane dynamics. But most people who are ready to make the great leap, ready to step into this extra life, you might call it, very often they have come in with a lot of a desire to do that, with a lot of desire to really participate in a big way in this consciousness change.
And does that require releasing karmic stuff, releasing limiting thoughts and feelings and reactions?
It requires releasing the limitations of the physical plane. Mm. And very often they want to jump into the spiritual too soon, And if you jump into the spiritual too soon and it's not grounded and integrated into the physical, generally somewhere by the time you're in teenage years, and you're already, you know, moving out into the creative and into the philosophical, into the spiritual, and so on, but you haven't really dealt with, getting really into the body. Not into getting into the body in the sense of really focusing on just the body. And that's some of the problem that some people who do yoga just don't get, that it's really the integration that's important of the spiritual with the physical. And so some of them think they're very spiritual when they do really good yoga. Mm-hmm. But and that doesn't really qualify a person at all. You're really, the spiritual has to do with your wanting to express, to love, touch, and heal, to create, to move energy, to manifest stuff that you want, and to learn and grow and be curious and find out who you are. And so people that come in already filled with all this kind of juice very often have a tremendous resistance to the body.
Mm.
It's like, oh, this body is so slow, it's so holding me back, it's so dull, it's so limiting, and and then they don't like the body, and they have judgments on the body, and of course that's not helped by society, telling everybody that, when you're, by the time you're a teenager, you must look really good, you must be in shape, you must look good, you can't have acne, and you can't be overweight, and you can't have bad-looking hair, and you can't be short, and you can't be, all these kinds of things that are judging the form of the physical body. And so people take that judgment onto their bodies.
And into the, is that what fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue are? That has been so rampant even with young people.
No doubt. Fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue both come from the suppression of anger and power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it is very often found more frequently in females than with males, because females are not encouraged to take their power at any point in their life, really.
Because it doesn't look good.
No, it's not very ladylike, and they're afraid that if a woman shows her power too soon, she's going to scare off all the guys, and she'll never be happily married, and all that kind of stuff. It's all part of the old tradition. And so,
I remember being told, don't reveal that you're intelligent or you will never get
exactly.
A husband.
Yeah, so the one who channels us also had to go through that. She grew up in the South, and it was like, you've got to make the man think that he's all so clever and smart, and he's got to win every card game or whatever. You can't ever, let him know that you could do it. It's a game, but in there turns out to be a tremendous amount of rage, powerless rage. It's just the futility of wanting to express and be who you are and be free to be yourself with all those limitations. Now, admittedly, some men have them too. So there are men with fatigue and fibromyalgia as well. But
not as many.
But
as
not
far
as many.
I know.
No, it's not as many. And the ones who do have it are generally the sensitive men, the ones who have felt themselves repressed because they wanted to do something beautiful and gentle and creative or musical or whatever it was, and they were said, no, you've got to be a tough boy, you've got to play football, you got to whatever, and they had to suppress themselves too.
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of heavy duty suppression, and more suppression.
Is cancer also about suppression? It's suppression of anger, isn't it?
Depression. It's in there. But cancer is much more a traumatic response of futility and powerlessness, yes, but not necessarily always rage, but it's about the loss of love from someone that they wanted to love them.
Mm-hmm.
It's generally like a lack of love, and that is what creates the cancer.
Hmm.
And they want to go... In people with cancer, the emotional pattern of cancer is that people want to go back into the past before all the pain began, before the loss, and start over. And so that's why they've observed that cancer cells have a remarkable similarity to fetal cells.
Interesting.
But except that they're going backwards in time. They're kind of like devolving back into the past. And so people get really stuck in the past. For example, a friend of the channels had the love of her life. He was wonderful. She was happy. It was great. He died in an accident.
Oh, dear.
And ever since that time, she was kind of lovelorn, lost, lonely, and so on. And so a few years later, she got breast cancer and died.
Hmm.
But she never found happiness after he died. It was that love that was lost. She could never create it for herself. She could never create it in her life. She couldn't find another man. It was just a sense of that hopelessness that the love is lost.
And the healing actually is discovering the divinity within.
Oh, absolutely.
And leaving to discover
any health condition. But first, one must release the sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
One must release the rage and the anger. One must express it, honor it, listen to the emotions, and be with them and sit with them. And that is the basis of all the emotional processing and emotional healing that is really vital and necessary, and what, unfortunately, most people resist the most.
Mm-hmm. That's true, isn't it?
Nobody wants to go back into all that pain, you know, and relive it.
How do you see us, Galexis? What do we look like to you?
And by we, what category are you speaking of?
Individuals, you're here to help, and you're doing a marvelous job. And I know you're many, many levels of consciousness. And I wondered if, and I know that you experience the presence of our emotional evolution.
Yes.
Somehow. So I guess I'm just questioning, what do you see? Do you see us as a vibrational being? Do you see us
as
a hairdo?
Well, we see you as a collection of various vibrations, which are part of your intentions, your interests, your attractions, your desires, your thoughts and all their beliefs and all that. And they're all different frequencies, and you kind of work them together into kind of a hodgepodge field of resonance. And this is unique to you. Each person has their own unique combination. It's extraordinarily complex. And if we were to actually try to describe it, we would say it would probably look kind of like an exquisitely detailed and intricate, enormous mandala.
Oh, how interesting.
Right? That the way that it radiates from the point of the original intent, which was that your original intent to come into the physical plane and then to rediscover yourself, learn how to create as well as the divine that you are, and then return back.
So we're colorful mandalas to you?
In a sense, yes. But sometimes we see you as all sorts of like bubbles of light and moving around and so on, roughly, you know, held together by what we call the skin of your auric field.
Hmm.
Right? And so...
And do you see us in, you know, you were speaking of so many people are being incarnated at this time. There are a lot of people come in for this period of the shift. Is there a number, are there a lot more soul groupings coming in? Are we coming in en masse in collectives?
Well, yes and no. The majority of your soul group is not going to incarnate.
Oh,
but
really?
Every soul group, every soul family sends representatives to this, has sent representatives to this earth. And so the earth representatives are kind of broadcasting back to them what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they are supporting the earth representatives in this whole change process because they want to keep they want to watch, they want to know what's going on. So that's what they do. So.
And they also can digest the wisdom that we find. Do they not? I mean, do they embody? All right, my question is more like, are they part of our guidance team? The other beings in our soul groupings,
sometimes,
are they guides?
Sometimes. Sometimes not.
And do they experience our experiences?
Yes, they tune in. They're in resonance with you. They're in a frequency harmonic alignment with you. And therefore, whatever you feel, they can feel because they understand the oneness.
Hmm.
And so they're at one with you. You are separated by the choice that you made to create an illusion of separation so that you could function as an individual on the physical plane.
Mm.
But they don't have that limitation. That only comes with the physical body. So they can, in a sense, just be with you and just experience vicariously through you and feel the full range of your emotion and everything that you're experiencing.
Hmm.
And it's not that that you're the, you know, the guinea pig or that you're being pressured to do this. You volunteered, you know. You said, yeah, yeah, that sounds like fun. I want to be there for that, right? And so they said, yay, we will support you. And they put a lot of attention and a lot of love your way. If people didn't have all of this love focused on them from their soul families, from the other side and so on, people couldn't survive on this planet. Love is what enables people to actually have a lifetime.
So how do people who feel no love at all begin to tap into that and actually feel and experience the love that's abundant?
Well, the thing is that people do feel love, but they have interpreted it falsely. Mm. They interpret it as attack, as judgment, as through twisted and distorted filters. So a person can come and show love to someone who's in this unfortunate state, and they will think that the person is trying to control them, and they will fight. So essentially, for them to understand that there is love there, they have to understand what safety is, but they don't understand what safety is. So the point is that these people have to rely on the mainstream to lead them, because they will accept authority outside of themselves. They will not see themselves as an authority on anything. So they'll say, okay, here's what's real, is what these people say.
And why is it that? Is that because that's what we're learning, is to become the authority, the author of self, is that we have to go through handing over authority in order to gain it?
Initially, yeah, because you see, for you to be a light bringer, for you to be a pathfinder, you've got to be able to start in the darkness. You've got to start with the problem that everybody has in the collective. You've got to anchor in and join the mainstream. You've got to join the consensus.
So then, is that when you hit the initiation period? What's the initiation period?
Initiation of what? There's many initiations in
your life. Okay, so if I'm a soul and I want to be initiated into my truer nature or my spiritual journey or a combination.
Oh, okay, but that happens, you know, when you get on your spiritual path, that's your first initiation of the spirit. It's when there's some kind of awakening and there's an unfoldment of desire, a surge from your heart saying, oh, I want to know more about this. I want to go here. This is where I want to go. And you feel the pull and you feel the call. That's we would say that perhaps is the first initiation.
And what about you come to those times, not you necessarily, but many of us come to those times in our life where nothing we do works. There is nothing that works.
Well, that's a sign that it's time for you to be still, to go within and to let the outer world go and remember who you are, to tap back into who you truly are. Most people, when that happens, try harder, because that's what the culture says. If you don't get it once, you know, try harder, do it again, try it more. You haven't done enough. You're not good enough at it. You know, you gotta push, you gotta drive, you gotta do more, and so people get stuck into that kind of thing, and it takes a while for them to realize it's not about doing more. It's not about learning more. It's not about driving themselves and getting more accomplished. It's not about learning more and filling up their mind with information. What it's about, though, is getting to care for and appreciate and value the self. And very often the external plane experiences are going to reflect to a person that the way they've been doing it, what they've been doing, the perception they have of themselves and of their world is ended. It's time to end that phase. And so nothing's going to work. Nothing.
I always think of that as the initiation period.
Well, actually, we call that the dark chaos.
Okay.
And some people call it the dark night of the soul. Because that's a very trying time where a person feels the futility, can go into the darkest recesses of shame and pain and suffering.
And you can feel extra cut off from divinity.
Oh, absolutely. Feel so separate. That's where the shame comes in. And the furthest you can get away from the divine is the emotion of shame, feeling flawed, defective, and unloved.
And unlovable.
And unworthy, mm-hmm. you see. And people are all trained from, in every culture on this planet, pretty much, with a few very small exceptions, are trained to experience tremendous shame. And, therefore, anyone who's going to go on the spiritual path has to go through a dark period where they face their shame to realize that it's an illusion and it's not real. It's mm-hmm. just, it's just a, it's something that they took on themselves and they believed, and they have to let it go. And when people start doing that, then they begin to look at the whole mainstream, at the whole consensus, and begin to question all those beliefs that are out there.
Mm-hmm. And all the levels of authority.
And all the levels of authority in their religion, in their education, in their
media.
Politics, in the media. They begin to question it all and start to doubt that what they're hearing is the truth from these people.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to realize that the people who are talking the loudest and trying to control other people the most often have the least experience of what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to, in a sense, push their view on others.
Still line, do what I say, not what I do.
Exactly. And with that comes a tremendous awakening on the part of an individual mm-hmm. to say, okay, if all of that is questionable, where's the truth now?
Right.
And so where is the truth? The only place the truth can be found for an individual is within.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, in a sense, will force a person to go through that kind of self-testing, self-discovery. Most people feel they have to discover themselves through hardship, and that's why so many people have to, you know, dismantle the external before they can find out what's going on.
So there's a really strong parallel with the dismantling of systems right now. And I'm,
well, yes,
it's occurring to me that it's like their initiation in a way.
It's like a whole those are society. The whole culture mm-hmm. is going through this process.
Mm-hmm.
The whole dismantling of the dark chaos, the dismantling of the financial systems, of people's financial portfolios disappearing and their lifestyle changes that they have to make adjustments to and all that kind of thing. There are people who have been living off their savings for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and they've been unemployed and living off their savings, and when their savings are gone, they're indigent,
mm-hmm.
and they still haven't gotten a job, mm-hmm. you see. We still have yet to see some of the effect of that. That's going to be over the next 2 to 3 years. We'll see the full effect of what has happened in
this.
Is
it possible for
people
to create new businesses in that interim, in the 2 years?
Oh, yes, it is, but it's hard to create a business when you don't know who you are,
mm-hmm.
when you don't have a connection with your truth. Then everything that's in the external, you don't know what to believe, you don't know what to do, you're lost.
There are great teachers like Neil Donald Walsh and Eckhart Tolle who went through those homeless periods in order, en route to their awakenings and so on. And I was just wondering, with the number of people on the planet right now and the number of people that are jostling with this changing time and so on, is it actually contagious for people to really light in one another that sense of self? You know what I mean? Is it like it? Are we rubbing up against each other's
shoulders?
Well, yes,
people pass anger.
Mm-hmm.
People pass anger to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen that for sure.
Oh, for sure.
It's like people catching a cold from somebody. Actually, what people catch from other people is the common cold is really the impact of your internal slave driver. Because the common cold generally happens when too much is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You're too overwhelmed. You're overloaded. You feel crushed. You don't know what to do. You feel lost. You're disoriented. You are not grounded. You're not centered. And so a cold is really trying to, you know, detox your body, but at the same time trying to get you to get away from other people and get inside yourself
mm-hmm.
and take care of yourself and teach yourself how to nurture and care for yourself, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with financial or anything, is that when it stops working out there and your world stops working for you, then the message is, okay, so go within and find your truth. And from there, you can dream and imagine something new that's a new way that's in alignment with your truth. And when you can do that, when you can understand that who you are is more important than what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That who you
That's
are
a
is
big
more
one.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Who you are is much more important than how much money you have.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are as a spiritual being is so much important, more important than what other people think of you.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get that essential truth and essential value, you're able to imagine what your life could be like if you lived it according to your truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you begin to dream the new businesses, the new opportunities, the new paradigm. You know, being a paradigm shifter, you know what we're talking about.
Yes.
Creating a new paradigm based on love and freedom and safety, trust, and personal empowerment, and into the expression of the divine on a daily basis, the love, touch, and heal expression, the create and imagine and dream and move energy through to manifest something channel, and then also to learn and grow and become more of who one is.
And that is contagious, really, isn't it? I mean, if you're
once
with
a person gets there,
yes.
Other people want to be with that person
right.
to feel the uplift. And that's mm-hmm. why people go to see gurus, because these gurus have gotten to the other side. These gurus are absolutely radiant in being.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in total self-value of themselves and knowing that they are divine. This is the ultimate upliftment. So people will come and sit in their presence, and it's called darshan in the East. You'll get darshan, the presence of an enlightened being, and you will feel uplifted. You will feel, it's as if, you enter in, you have a relationship with somebody and they're magnetically attracted to this person and you fall in love. And a lot of times that love, it's because the other person loves you that you will start to love your life and love being you.
And get more courageous about what you want to do.
And get more courageous about it. And that's what people get from gurus and teachers who are able to do that kind of, radiance.
Let's dream an education system. With the falling apart of the systems, including the education system, what you're talking about would make a very amazing charter school system around the world, wouldn't it?
Well, these systems are being established here and there by enterprising and adventurous people.
They are being established.
Yes, they are. They're being created. They're being established. They are happening in small increments right now. But as society develops and changes and goes through its transformation, then people who are looking for answers, who are looking for inspiration, who are looking for a creative direction to take, looking to find out how do we do this? How do we bring our children up? How do we educate ourselves? How do we learn
mm-hmm.
in a way that is not limiting to us?
Mm-hmm.
And they will then seek these people out, and these people will then become more well-known and supply a lot of ideas and a lot of support. And they will start to integrate. You see,
it's a very exciting concept, isn't it? Sorry to interrupt you.
Right, but you see, it is a concept, an exciting concept, and realize that the ones who are doing these, who are templating it right now, are the ones who are dreaming it because they themselves went through some kind of crisis about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have blazed a trail into the light chaos, which is the putting together of all the new pieces of choice. See, the old chaos, the dark chaos, as it dismantles, those are the pieces that you didn't know you chose. You just came into them.
Mm-hmm.
You were just born into it. Your parents were into it. You know,
subconscious programming.
Your subconscious programming was there. You know, everything was on automatic. Now it has to go. And now you have to put together things by choice. This builds a light chaos. For a while, you don't know exactly where you're going, but you know that you're going somewhere beautiful
mm-hmm.
because you're putting together pieces, each piece, which is a beautiful light that is in alignment with your own truth.
Mm-hmm.
And as you do that, if you can keep that track going, what you'll find is that you will be leading the mainstream. The mainstream will come to you. It'll seek you out because you have some answer they don't have. You then become the guru, the radiant one that uplifts the others.
Mm-hmm. So new systems are going to emerge almost as an evolutionary wave coming out of the dissemblement of the old systems because of people's consciousness.
Yes, because of people's consciousness, awareness that happens in that gap in between, where there's that fallout right in between where people go, oh, I have to rethink my whole self, my whole identity, my whole life, my whole story.
And how can we support each other? I guess you already answered that, right?
Well, you can support other people in that by simply taking away all judgment of them.
Ah, and love.
And you can love them. Yes, you can love them and give love to them and send love to them. It's a delightful experience just to go out into a public place like a market or something like that and just radiate love from your heart to every person who's there.
Now, there's some YouTubes of people giving free hugs in various public areas that really have a wonderful reaction with people.
And sometimes very disturbing.
Yeah, I'm sure. So talking about love, what I've heard is that love is an absolutely expanding word, meaning it doesn't ever stay the same, right?
Well, the thing is that that love in and of itself, its essence, is such. Mm-hmm. There's always more. Mm-hmm. There's an infinite amount of it. In fact, every cell of your body, everything that's part of this illusion that you call the physical plane, everything is part of the astral, causal, mental, and all the planes of illusion within the whole universe are all made up of love through one filter or another, through one frequency or another. Love is the foundation. It's everything.
It's the glue.
It's the glue. Mm-hmm. It's the substance as well as the glue. Mm. Right? And so what happens is that when you start taking out all the limitations, which are like the limited definitions of love, you can begin to expand. You can experience more expansion of love. But the love is always there.
But I love an apple, I love a person can often mean as much about attachment as it does about love. So I'm always interested in
what
it really
means. Well,
that's
a definition about love. Mm-hmm. That's a limiting definition about love.
Yes, it is.
You know, I love it because it gives me something. Mm-hmm. I take something from this. You see, that's a child's definition of
right.
love. Gimme, gimme. I want that toy. I want that, you know, that food. I want that snow cone, you know, whatever. You know, children are about that. So you grow up as far as your definition of love, and then you find that there's no limitation anymore.
Mm.
And you will also learn, of course, to love yourself, and that's the key.
Now, when you come together with all of these beings or all this consciousness that you're with, obviously it's about love. Why is everyone coming now? I know you've answered that before, but I'd like to hear it.
Well, everyone that is coming onto the planet right now is coming in order to experience some of this great evolutionary shift that's going on,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps to participate as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of young people who are coming in who are part of this future generation who are going to be bringing in a lot of the technology of that has been lost from Atlantis, Lemuria, other star systems, and so on. They're bringing that new technology in.
The healing and communication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And understanding how to work with frequencies and understanding how to work with what you might say magnetic fields and all that kind of thing. And they're learning all of that is still at a fairly elementary stage, but it is growing at an exponential rate. And as these young people who are right now getting into it, who are probably in their early 30s, from 20s to early 30s, really get into their maturity with this whole thing, you're going to see just an extraordinary explosion of technology that's just going to be more magical than you could ever imagine.
Do you see an end to the oil, the use of fossil fuels? I mean, do you see in all this explosion of technology that the alternative energies will take their rightful place? Or I call it rightful, you know.
Right, yes. Well,
non-toxic
place. We do agree that that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a vital necessity to go there. And it's, of course, those who have vested interest in it are resisting and fighting, and they have a tremendous amount of power and money and all that kind of stuff, but they cannot sustain it, you know, forever. There's too much movement into alternative energy sources, possibilities, potentials, magic of all sorts.
So it's kind of rising in many individuals at this time.
Right. It's always risen in individuals, if you've noticed, individuals who would get poo-pooed by the scientists and say, you know, and whatever, and then later on it would be found that this person was correct, you know, or had a actually more elegant and more useful theory, and then the scientists would embrace it. But there's always that reaction, that initial reaction to the new stuff, and yet right now, the new stuff, every gadget that comes out with new ability, with new apps and everything, is eagerly embraced.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is telling you that that generation, the younger generation, for whom that is very natural and is at home with all of this technological stuff, and they wouldn't be caught without their, you know, their iPhone or their whatever,
right.
the internet on their body. You know, it's like these people are the ones who are going to envision how to create a green society.
And it's also a global movement, isn't it? Because of the communications going on,
it's a global movement, mm-hmm. and it's going to mobilize first politically. There's going to be...
Will countries stop being so separated from one another?
Ultimately, yes. But it's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a long process. And to be able to get rid of oil as the major source of energy, oil will continue to be used for making things like plastics and things and so on. But there'll be a technology on how to break it down so it doesn't, you know, get stuck in the environment.
There's going
to be all sorts of technological developments. But the political shifts and the social change will come first.
Hmm.
And that's going really at quite a clip right now.
What do you see? Do you see that? I often think that America's elections should be some kind of team for president, you know, a group rather than one. And maybe some of you, a few channels coming in as well.
Well, yeah, you ought to have a whole bunch of advisors from different places. Maybe different planets and dimensions, but that's a little bit too radical for the Earth at this point.
Oh, darn.
Because it's a free will universe, and Earth has got to figure out, all the people on Earth have got to figure out individually and collectively how to exercise choice and free will. And all the dictators that are being, you know, attacked and are trying to be brought down and all that kind of thing, like witness the Arab Spring, in those types of things, that this is about choice, people wanting choice, not necessarily what you might call the democratic system of voting and having representatives and stuff, but basically people want more choice over their life. They're tired of somebody telling them what to do all the time.
So let's move back into, we have to end this very shortly, but I want to say the beings that you're representing are here in order to help us remain inspired or supported.
Well, basically, we want to assist anyone who's willing to make the leap through the void, into the light chaos, to discover who they are and find the easier way, the more joyous way, the funner way, you might say, to live and celebrate life.
Wonderful. This has been just a delightful time, and I hope you'll come back again. We always enjoy having you on Paradigm Shifters.
We always enjoy it.
And I thank you so much. So people can get hold of you on galexisspirit.com, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's the website, and there's a lot of free resources there, and we do recommend that people, you know, get on the mailing list or subscribe to the weekly energizing, rejuvenating juice ops that we call the subscription to success.
Oh, boy, are they exciting. The downloads are amazing.
They are. They're wonderful. Yeah. And they can get people really across that gap into that new life, into that wonderful future, much more elegantly.
Thank you so much for being with us, Galexis.
You're certainly welcome,
dear one.
And thank
you to Ginger as well.
All right. Farewell.
Many blessings. Thank you so much for listening to Paradigm Shifters, and we'll be in touch again soon. You can check my website, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, either for a session with me or to find out who's coming up on Paradigm Shifters and Radiance by Design. Many blessings, and thank you for listening. See you next week.